Sean, we got to start with the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, one of the hottest teams so far this season, one of the most entertaining teams. I jokingly said on Twitter that as far as like their style, I mean, they're kind of the Golden State Warriors of the NHL right now, up and down the ice. They put up tons of points. Another impressive showing last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. Are the Maple Leafs the most entertaining team in the league right now?
Yeah, you know what? I think they are. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a homer view on my part as a Leafs fan, but I think they're definitely right up there. I mean, you look at the young talent on this team and just up and down the roster, but especially up front, they're all sorts of fun to watch in the other team's zone. And they can, as Leaf fans are well aware and probably getting a little frustrated about, they can be fun to watch in their own zone too, because they're young enough that they haven't had all of the mistakes and creativity and all that other stuff beaten right out of them like most of the veterans in this league have. So, you know, that makes for some interesting third period, some interesting collapses. We saw it against the Rangers on Saturday when they had the 5-1 lead and blew it fairly quickly. But they've shown so far this year they're a resilient bunch, and if you take your foot off the gas against them for even a few minutes, they suddenly pour in two or three or more goals, and suddenly the scoreboard starts looking tilted. So it's fun to watch now, and I hope it stays that way before, like I say, Mike Babcock and friends can strangle it right out of them.
Hi, Sean. It's Ashley. How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to talk to you. I want to talk to you a little bit about the adversity that you mentioned, because you mentioned 2 games ago the Leafs gave up their astounding first period lead, but then they came back and they salvaged things. And then in their last game against Chicago, they went down early. And, you know, when you're watching the game, you think of all the strokes of bad luck that they have. The first goal that goes in, it goes off Marner's stick. The second goal, the Leafs are trying to pass it behind the net. It hits off Freddie Anderson's stick and comes back right out in front. Even the third goal, a missed shot on the power play, I believe, hits the perfect sweet spot on the boards behind the net and just bounces out in the other direction. And even still, they were able to keep it together. That high-flying offense that you mentioned came back, and now we've seen them in 2 situations where they need to kind of regroup after blowing a hot start, and the second time where they got to dig deep and come back against a very formidable opponent.
Yeah, and you know what? You're going to have that happen over the course of the season. It happens to everyone. And, you know, certainly when you look at this Leafs team and not only some of the things that have happened so far this year, but you look back to last year, right? And the all of the blowing leads in the third period, I think, mm-hmm. at one point they were getting close to an NHL record for the most blowing 2-goal leads in a third period. And to do that in today's era where everything is so defense first, when you're doing things in terms of blowing leads that even teams back in the 70s and 80s didn't do, that's an issue. And you know, what's interesting to me is it would be natural to react to that by maybe saying, okay, you know what, if we get a lead, we are just going to sit back, all 5 of us back in the defensive mm-hmm. zone, and just nobody make a mistake, and everybody block shots, everybody get in the lane, and don't worry too much about turning it up the other way. But of course, that's not what this team is built to do, and that's not how this team is going to be the most dangerous. And in fact, if you're playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're begging them to do that. You want to see them take that approach, because then you don't have to worry about all this speed and skill coming at you on the other end. And so far, they haven't done that. Now, I don't know if they're not doing that intentionally as a strategy, because they've decided to just kind of let these horses loose and see what they can mm-hmm. do, or whether this is just a case of the young guys not listening to Mike Babcock and not listening to the coaching staff, and you know, eventually, like, you know, they'll get bag skated enough times that they'll start to pay attention. I'm hoping, though, it's the former. I'm hoping that, you know, putting aside even being a Leafs fan, I've been begging for years for some team to come along and say, you know what, an 8-5 win is just as good as a 1-0 win. And there's no reason, you know, all we got to do is score more goals than the other team. There's no reason to say that we can't do that in a high scoring game. And let's go back and forth. And you know what, you want to trade skill for skill, let's do it. And, you know, if the Leafs turn out to be that team, that's great. You know, and we're all going to love it right up until they blow some 3-goal lead and lose a game. And then we'll all decide that they got to go back to defense first.
Sean McIndoe, a.k.a. Down Goes Brown, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight, here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Rob Wong and Ashley Docking. And I don't have all the stats to necessarily back this up, Sean. Maybe you've been keeping track of it, but it does seem like early on in the season that, you know, maybe offense might be a little up here. Do you think that's just because it's the start of the season, teams are still trying to, you know, get into the swing of things, or is there a shift now just based on how we've gotten to this point over the last couple of years with the increase in, you know, having three lines and having more skill in a lineup that, you know, we're getting back to the days where offense is going to be a thing again?
You know what? It has been up. I haven't checked lately, but after the first few days, I think league wide was averaging about 6.5 goals a game, which was up from the roughly 5.5 that has really been what it's settled into over the last 4 or 5 years. And man, I wish I could say that I thought this was some sort of trend. I wish I could say that I thought this meant something, because if anyone who's been reading my stuff over the years knows, I've been banging this drum constantly about the lack of offense in the league and how much more fun the NHL can be when there's a little bit more scoring. You know, having grown up in the 80s and the early 90s and seeing what it was like when there were more than one guy scoring 50 goals a season, more than one guy getting 100 points. And, you know, you had that 6.5, maybe even 7 goals a game average. I would love to get back to that. And I'd love to be able to say that I thought that what we've seen so far this year was some kind of trend. But the reality is, we went through this last year too. It was the same thing. The first week or two of last year, there was all sorts of scoring. It was roughly the same rate we've seen so far. And we all thought, you know, maybe this is some of the new rules coming in. Maybe this is the young talent taking over. Maybe it's this or that. And it didn't last. By the end of October, we were right back to 5.5 goals a game. And unfortunately, I strongly suspect that that's what we're going to see here again, and probably will see from this league for the indefinite future, right up until somebody gets serious about actually making some significant changes that are going to give offense a little bit of a boost.
Well, the league might not increase as a whole, but I have a feeling that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have some high output games this year. And one of the nice players that we got a chance to get to know a little bit more last year was Connor Brown. And then he signs to stay on with Toronto until 2020. And he took a little bit of a hometown discount from where I'm sitting. This is a guy who outscored Connor McDavid with the Erie Otters for 2 seasons. Goals, not points, I believe. And then he had a beautiful pass to Nikita Zaitsev across the ice from circle to circle as Zaitsev broke back door and scored, and then he returned the favor and Brown scored his first goal of the season, I believe it was, to make it a 1-goal game. But is Brown someone that even this year, next year, we're going to be sitting here thinking, wow, he is just the best steal that Toronto has, the best contract that Toronto has for his price and for his ceiling?
Well, you know what? It'd be nice, because this team, we are all well aware they're going to need a few steals over the next few years once the salary cap headaches start piling up, and once some of these young kids need those bridge deals and extensions. So I mean, yeah, it would certainly be nice, and you know, he is a guy that. There's so much talent on this team that just does things that just drop your jaw, whether it's the speed, the skill, things they do with the puck, the little moves they make. And, you know, you're just left watching the highlight reel and just staring at it going, man, I can't believe the skill involved here. And Connor Brown is a skilled player, but he's not a guy who tends to do that. And yet, at the end of the year, you know, maybe you haven't noticed him, maybe you haven't talked about him all that much, and suddenly you get halfway through a season or you get to the end of a season and you look at his numbers and, they're pretty darn good. And they were pretty good last year. And, you know, he's off to a good start here. And even though he started the year playing a little bit of time on the fourth line, you know what? That speaks to the depth that this team finally has. You know, this isn't just the Austin Matthews show or the Matthews, Nylander, and Marner show. They've got enough guys up front that a guy like Connor Brown, who's a real good player, might struggle to get those top 9 minutes. You know what? That's a good thing. And you know, it's a good thing that he's a guy to contribute on the penalty kill as well. And he can make the most of his chances. And you're right. They've got him locked in on a deal that could end up being a bargain if he can continue to produce at this level. And if you're a Leafs fan, knock on wood that he does, because like I say, when that big money starts rolling into the other guys, as we know from looking at other teams around the league, you got to find some discounts somewhere else. And it would be nice if it was somebody you already had in your back pocket.
Usually when you think of those things and you bring in someone on a discount, it's someone who's older, who's chasing a title, who's already had significant paydays, probably has some endorsement money, so they're not really struggling on the funds front. But when you look at the way the league is trending, it's a young man's game, as they say now. Everything's faster. You have to be able to keep up. The skating is out of control. We saw Connor McDavid get clocked at 40 kilometers an hour or whatever it was when he was racing down the ice. What's the likelihood that they can get a younger guy to get to take the discount just to be able to play with contenders? Do you think that the makeup of Toronto and with the coaching staff and with the front office is a strong enough draw to get maybe not someone who's kind of on the other side of the fence on their squad?
I mean, you'd like to think so. And obviously, you know, this is the part where anyone who's not a fan of the Maple Leafs kind of rolls their eyes deep into the back of their head, because here go Leaf fans talking again about how everyone wants to play there and everybody's going to take a big discount to do it. I mean, it is tough in this league to get young guys from outside the organization. That's just the reality. You know, people don't hit free agency. Nobody uses offer sheets anymore. And, you know, it can be tough to go out and acquire those guys. It would be nice to see if, you know, free agency has not been very kind to anyone in the league over the last few years. And in fact, I've kind of said only half jokingly that I think if I was running an NHL team, I might just unplug all the phones on July the 1st and say, we're not going to take any calls and we're going to let everyone else make the mistakes. And we'll kind of jump in a week later and pick up some of the bargains. And the Leafs didn't really do that this year. We saw them spend big on Patrick Marleau, who is a guy who maybe would ordinarily fit that profile you're talking about, if someone who would take a discount to come play for a team like Toronto that maybe even has a chance at a Stanley Cup that he doesn't have yet. You look at that contract, not much of a discount there that I can find. And then that's one that the Leafs still may end up regretting, because they certainly pay top dollar for a guy who is coming towards the end of his career. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily start throwing names around. I mean, if John Tavares happened to be listening to this, or Drew Doughty happened to be listening to this, I'm sure we could crunch the numbers and get them both in under the cap if they were willing to make it happen.
Longtime listener. Shout out, John. Thanks for listening.
There you go. All right, John. Well, John, you shoot a text over to Drew and, you know, we'll circle back on an email thread and we'll get this all sorted out. But the reality is, look, these players, they earn what they get and they deserve what they get. And, you know, I don't think anyone should feel like they have to take some sort of discount to, you know, pay these guys what they're worth and, you know, pay them what the market dictates. And hopefully you can still squeeze enough talent into a lineup that you can really make something happen.
Sean McIndoe, a.k.a. Down Goes Brown, contributor to Sportsnet.ca, our guest here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong and Ashley Docking here with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network. A couple more before we let you go, Sean. We saw tonight the Montreal Canadiens losing again. Another tough effort by the Habs, 3-1 to the Chicago Blackhawks. Montreal now 1-3 on this season. The goal-scoring woes continue. I know for me, I was really concerned more about their blue line and how slow they were, but was not concerned really that they wouldn't score. I mean, they have some talent there, but it so far has not translated. I mean, it's been a pretty tough start for Montreal. What are you kind of seeing out of the Habs so far?
No, it's heartbreaking, isn't it, to see the Montreal Canadiens struggling like this. You know what? The Canadiens were one of the more interesting teams to me in the offseason. You know, every year at the end of the offseason, I do this feature over at Sportsnet where I go through every team and I say, okay, forget about who won and who lost. Who had the strangest offseason? Who had the offseason that was the toughest to wrap your head around? And the Canadiens ranked really high on my list this year because, you know, you looked at all the players coming and going. They made the big deal for Jonathan Drouin, you know, losing Alexander Radulov, which we thought might happen, but was still tough to see. And, you know, big money for Carey Price and this and that. And yet, going in the offseason, we all said, okay, what these guys need, a number one center. They need to go out there and get, whether it's Matt Duchene, whether it's somebody else, they need that guy to drop in the middle because they've been strong on the wing for years, but they've never really had that number one guy down the middle. And they went the whole offseason and didn't really do it. Now, maybe Jonathan Drouin ends up being that guy. And certainly it seems like that's what they're hoping, but they, you know, it didn't really happen that they went and got somebody where you'd say, okay, clearly that's their number one center. Now, maybe they didn't necessarily need that. You know, there is an argument to be made for that, but now here we are four games into the season and the offense just isn't clicking. And, you know, we all know that in any town, when the offense isn't working and you've got an obvious hole that you haven't seemed to fill, there's going to be some pressure on the GM to go out and make that happen. And least of all in Montreal, where we know they tend to be a little bit of a high pressure environment for the hockey front office. So, I don't doubt that if it hasn't started already, you're going to start seeing Mark Bergevin's seat get warmer and warmer, and some pressure on him to go out and do something to give that goal scoring a boost. Because you know what, they've got a guy that I really feel is the best goaltender in the entire NHL, and man, you would hate to waste a guy's prime going back there and losing night after night 2-1 because the offense in front of him can't score.
The amount of sympathy and almost agony in your voice when you first started to answer that question, it almost sounded like you were talking about just, I don't even know, like your pet passed away or something. Like that's how much I thought that you felt that.
Let's not pretend that Montreal Canadian fans would not speak exactly the same way about us if the rules were reversed.
Fair. Okay, let's switch gears quickly to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, because their first home game tonight, and what was supposed to be exciting, over-the-top, big-time celebration was obviously scaled back because of the events in Las Vegas. The attack on the country concert, so the team decided to take all the messaging off their boards. It's just Vegas strong. That is the message for the game. So no more are we celebrating the fact that this expansion team is coming home 2-0 to start their season at home. Maybe something people didn't think they could do. I don't think an expansion team has started the regular season 3-0. So they're on the brink of doing something like that. But this is a moment where hockey is just becoming a little bit bigger than the game itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, full credit to them. That's the appropriate response to the events we've seen over the last week. I don't think anybody down there in Vegas, certainly there's probably plenty of people down there who could use a little bit of a distraction and something to smile about. But I don't think anybody wants to see big, flashy, over-the-top, self-congratulatory pregame celebrations. And, that's not what they're going to serve up. There'll be time for that down the line. And especially if they keep playing better than we all thought and they keep winning. But this wasn't the night for it. And, good on them for recognizing it and for going a little more low-key. And like I say, at some point down the line, they want to do the big party then and, unveil the mascots and this and that. Then that'll be the right time for it then. And I don't think anyone's going to look back and feel like it cheapened the first night of their home schedule to be a little bit more respectful and a little bit more conservative.
Yeah, if anything, I think it'll be even more special, even more memorable, because they're taking themselves out of the equation and just putting their new city, their new fans, and everything surrounding that first.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight in Vegas. Thanks so much for doing this tonight, Sean. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.